Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 23. Matthew, chapter 23. We'll read verses 23 through 28 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew 23, verses 23 through 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought yet to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. What a wonderful thing to know that when we come here, your presence is here. And it's not by accident. Our preachers beg you for it. Many have begged you for it. Father, once again, it's obvious your presence is here. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we leave here changed. May we leave here a whole lot closer to you and understanding you better and a lot less like ourselves, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I announce my sermon title for this evening. It is Omitters and Committers, or Committers and Omitters. Here in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, we see a verse that says, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. I preached a sermon here on, it was dated October 12 of 2003. The title of it was this, Sinners are welcome here. Sinners are welcome here. I would recommend that you listen to the sermon because it kind of describes what I feel about our church and people coming to our church. Here in Matthew 23:23, it tells us something. It says that there are those that in this passage, there are those that are being corrected for omitting some things from their life. They're being corrected for leaving some things out. Now, that word omit means leaving out. There's something that's absent. There's something that's not in its place. There's something that's not there that ought to be there. Now, you know, there are some churches that are just not interested in sinners being in their church. Now, there's some churches that don't want flawed people in their church. Well, none of us are finished products. And there are churches that will stay small forever because they think there's only this holy little group that ought to be in that church. So they'll never grow numerically because they don't allow people to grow spiritually. Either you're an immediate finished product or you can just go on up the road. Well, I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Sinners are welcome here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. There are only two kinds of folks here tonight. Saved sinners and lost sinners. If you're born again, you're a born-again Christian, you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're on your way to heaven, but that doesn't make you perfect. You are a saved person that's on your way to heaven, having trusted Christ, but you're going to have sin in your life, and the only way we're ever going to get all the sin out of our life is to go to heaven where there is no sin. Then there are lost sinners. You say, what's a lost sinner? That's somebody that's not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If they die today, they're not on their way to heaven. They're on their way to hell. They're lost. They're a sinner on their way to hell. Let me explain. You don't do right to get to heaven. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to get to heaven. Now, we are all to do right. But doing right, you don't earn your way to heaven. You don't work your way to heaven. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him we owe. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't work for him. I'm not saying we shouldn't live for him. You get saved by trusting Christ, and then we are to live for him. But there are only two kinds of people here today. There are saved sinners, and there are lost sinners. When I preached the sermon called Sinners Are Welcome Here, let me tell you some things I said. I said, for instance, lost people are welcome here. Do you know something? If you're sitting here tonight and you're not saved and you've been coming to our services for the last 3 months, you say, I still not trusted Christ. Well, just keep on coming to church. You're welcome here. Look, if you don't come, I don't get a shot at you with the gospel. So you just keep on coming. You just keep on coming. That's okay. Lost sinners, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. Hey, you know something? People that hate, they're welcome here. Now, I wish you wouldn't hate. You're not supposed to hate. At least you're not supposed to hate other people. But if you're a hateful person, you're welcome to come to my church. Now, I don't want you to hate. You're not supposed to hate, but you're welcome to come here. Why? Sinners are welcome here. If you're the kind of person, if you've been immoral, I believe you're supposed to be clean and pure. I believe that sex outside of marriage is a sin. I think the Bible's very clear on that. But let me tell you something. If you've been immoral, if you've committed adultery, if you've fornicated, you're welcome at this church. Now, you're not supposed to do it, and I don't want you to do it, but if you come, I've got a chance of helping you. I've got a chance of helping you to become productive and be clean from here on out. From here on out. You know what? You can thank God that God allows you to be clean from here on out. God says, all right, we can't do anything about the past, but let's be clean and pure from here on out. That's what God wants out of us. Sinners are welcome here. Sinners are welcome here. Those who have committed wrong are welcome here. I am not condoning wrong. I am condoning allowing people that have done wrong to get in the church where we can fix that wrong and do away with that wrong. People are welcome here. If you cuss, you're welcome here. Now, you're not supposed to cuss. You're not supposed to use filthy four-letter words. You're not supposed to do that. And I'm not for that. I'm against that. But you're welcome here. Because if you don't come, then I don't get to thump you in the head about shutting your mouth. So come and be thumped. You're welcome to be thumped. And we know you're welcome here. If you drink booze, the Bible's clear on it. You're not supposed to. But if you're a boozer, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. The church, this church, it's not a museum. It's a hospital. And all of us have some sickness. It's a sickness called sin, and all of us need doctored up. I am not for you going out and meeting Jack Daniels and tying one on with him. I'm not for it. I'm against it. I'll preach against it. I'll thunder aloud. But, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. If you steal, you're welcome here. Stealing's wrong. If you have committed the sin of theft, if you have stolen, if you're stealing now, You're welcome here. Now, you're not supposed to do it. But listen, if you stop coming to church, I don't have a chance to fix you up. I don't have a chance to get that out of your system for you to get right with God. If people who gossip, they're welcome here. I'm going to tell you, this is the closest thing to making me want someone to leave my church. It's gossip. So you know how severely I take it. You say, why? Because gossip creates disunity. And here's what happens. It is your gossips that tear down the other sinners in the church that makes them not feel welcome here. See, it is your gossip, it's your critic that is always griping about something. That's what chases so many other people away. The thing that you'll come closest to making me want to come to you and say, why don't you go up the road and go make some other church miserable? The thing that you'll do that caused me to want to do that the most is negative talk, things that cause disunity in the church. See, I could deal with everything else if we all just know we're sinners and we're going to try to work through that and get that out of our life. But when people are gossips and critical of one another, that is what causes others to want to leave the church. But if you can't keep your mouth shut, as long as we can tolerate you, we will. And some of you can be thankful for that because you're still here. You know, there's two things that we can do that we could call sin, if you will. For instance, we can commit sins, like some of the things I just talked about, hatefulness and immorality and cursing and booze and stealing and lust and gossip and criticism. There is the committing of wrong or the doing of wrong, but then there's another level of wrong. It's the absence of right. There's the presence of wrong, and then in our lives there can be the absence of right. There is committing sins, and then there is omitting good things.
Right.
Omitting. The omitting of right. Or the leaving out of right. Now, just so you all know, the committers are welcome here, and so are the omitters. Those that commit wrong are welcome in our church, and those who omit right from their lives, they too are welcome here. And just so y'all know, we're all a bunch of omitters.
Right.
We got a church that's got a whole bunch of omitters in it. You say, what do you mean? None of us are doing everything we're supposed to be doing. Thank God that God is patient with us and doesn't kick us out of the family because we do not do enough of right or if we do too much of wrong. Once you're saved, the Bible teaches, you're always saved. Your wrong won't get you kicked out of the family, and the absence of right won't get you kicked out of the family. And if that's how God thinks about it, then I think that's how I should think about it as your pastor, and I think that's how we should think about it as a congregation or as a New Testament church. So, the sermon tonight is committers and omitters. You know, there's this weird philosophy, and it's just ignorance, but have you ever heard someone say, well, you know what? If I can't give my all to God, I'm just not going to give at all. I mean, if I'm not going to jump in and go all the way, then I'm just not going to jump in. Somehow they think that's smart. They almost think that's spiritual. But what they're trying to say is, yeah, I'm the kind of person that, well, I'm not totally committed to God because I love Him so much, I won't commit at all. God thinks you're full of prunes thinking like that. You know what? God will take whatever you give Him.
Yes, sir.
He does want your whole heart. But all you're going to do is give Him half. He doesn't say, all or nothing. Nope. He said, give me half. Give me half. You say, well, I just don't want to be a hypocrite. God would rather you be a hypocrite and try than to go ahead and live knowledgeably in sin, denying Him to have even have a chance at your life. Ever stop and think about it? Well, I'm going to try that. I might fail. God would rather you try and fail than to not try. God would rather you try to clean up your life and fail at it than to say, well, I'll just continue in my sin because I'm liable to fall. Well, we're all going to fall. We're all a bunch of committers and omitters. And I say to you tonight, I want to talk to you about this thought. Omitters. Those of us that omit things, I'm glad you're here in our church. I'm glad you're here. For instance, if you omit the important item of prayer from your life, you're still welcome here. Now, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible says. I think you should pray. But if I speak on prayer, don't get upset and leave our church. No, stay here. If you don't pray a lick, you're welcome here. Say, why? Hang around. I'll teach you how to pray. There's some people don't pray at all here. I know that. Now, don't leave because you don't pray. You have omitted a weightier matter in your life. You need to pray. Now, I cannot not preach on prayer. I'm obligated by God to preach on it. But if you're not doing it, keep on coming because I don't want to lose the chance to influence you, and I may have a chance to help you to learn to pray. Prayer helps you. You see, if you don't pray, you're the one that's going to do without. God has so much to offer you. If you don't pray, you're going to do without. But I say don't leave. Don't leave. Stay here. We'll teach you how to pray. So if you've omitted prayer from your life, I want you to stay here. If you won't come to the men's prayer meeting, I still want you to come to our church. If you won't pray over your meals at home, I want you to keep coming to our church. If you have no prayer time, if you don't have a prayer life, I want you to keep coming to our church. This evening, you watched a video called Twice Given, a man by the name of Dr. Tom Williams. Dr. Williams and I are personal friends and have been for many years. He and I were out together one day doing something, and as we were riding up the road, we stopped at a mall, and he said, I want to go in and get Mrs. Williams some chocolate, since she loves chocolate. So we went into this fancy we're going into the mall to a fancy chocolate store. We were driving around in the mall. Dr. Williams, I was trying to park up near the front of the mall entrance, so we didn't have to walk a long way. I wasn't concerned about me, but I just wanted to get this man up near the front of the mall so we could park close to a door. We did the, you know, we took a lap and then another lap, and I said, Dr. Williams, I'm so sorry. I just can't seem to get us a parking spot up close. He bowed his head right there as I was driving. He said, Dear God, my dear brother wants a parking spot up close. Please provide it. He lifted up his head. The car backed out. We pulled in right down front. I went, oh, wow. Wow. He said, let's pull over here at this Walgreens, drugstore. He said, pull over here. We went in and we got in the line. He picked out a bottle of perfume. Matter of fact, I didn't know it. He asked me, he said, well, what's Mrs. Owens' favorite kind of perfume? And I said something, and we went in and he grabbed up a couple bottles of perfume, and well, we were in the line, and there's this gal standing there behind the counter, and he said to her, he said, ma'am, do you gift wrap here? And she said, well, no, sir, we don't. He said, you know, I had just prayed that you did. And she said, well, yes. Yes, we do. She stopped everything. Went back off the counter, got some gift wrapping. I mean, I'm talking about just like down here at a CVS. She stopped everything. There were people in line. She cut the paper. She wrapped up that gift, put a little bow on it. He took his cowboy hat off. He laid it on the counter. He said, ma'am, you've been so good to me. It'd be wrong if I were not good to you. I'd like to introduce you to one of my friends. He said, have you ever met Jesus Christ? He gave her the plan of salvation. There's about 8 people behind us in line. They're all just being quiet. Just watching. She bowed her head, closed her eyes, asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart and save her. He picked up his hat, put it on his head, said, ma'am, thank you very much for wrapping my gift. Have a good day. We walked out. Hey, if you don't want to pray, fine. It'd help you if you did. Help you if you did. But keep coming to church. See, if you're omitting the sacred thing of prayer from your life, that's okay. You're welcome here in our church. Hey, number 2, if you're omitting the important item of the Bible and reading the Bible from your life, you're still welcome here. In Acts 17:11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I think you ought to read your Bible every day of your life. I think we ought to have a daily washing of the water by the Word, and the Word of God ought to cleanse our minds. I think you ought to read your Bible. But if you don't read your Bible every day, like the Bible teaches, keep coming to church. Don't leave. Whatever you do, don't leave the church. You say, why? I get a chance to teach you to read your Bible. I get a chance to tell you what I'm telling you. I know there are a bunch of you who don't read your Bible. I know there's people in here that you'll take your Bible home today. You won't read it all week long. You'll be searching frantically next Sunday morning trying to find your Bible so you can come to church and look religious. I'll tell you what, don't leave church. Stay right here. Stay right here. Why? Because I want to teach you the importance of reading the Bible, and I want to preach to you about the exaltation of the Word of God in your life. Bible reading is best for you. Some of you will continue in misery because you don't read the Bible. And listen, I cannot not preach on it. I'm commanded by God to exalt the Bible and get you to read it. But if you don't read your Bible, if you've omitted that from your Christian life, you just stay here because you're welcome here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Number three, if you omit the important item of soul winning and service to God from your life, you're still welcome here. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I think you're to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And I think you're to do it on a regular basis. You can call it witnessing if you would like. You can call it spreading the gospel if you would like. We call it soul winning here. Every one of you that are born again are obligated to God. It is a responsibility that you go tell others about Jesus Christ. The people that work here, everyone have promised me they'll go soul winning on a weekly basis. They have to keep that promise. But let me say to the lay sector here, you say, Brother Owens, I don't go soul winning. Hey, don't leave our church. You don't leave our church. I don't want you to leave our church. You say, I don't go soul winning. All right, you stay right here. Say, well, I have to leave if I'm not a soul winner? No, I want you to stay here. Why? Well, if you stay here, you'll be able to learn about soul winning. And it may be someday you'll get the courage to do it. It may be someday you'll decide, that's what I want to do. I'm going to do it. Now, listen, I cannot not preach on it. Because I am obligated to preach on it as a pastor. It's what we're to do. It's what you're to do. It's what I'm to do. But listen, if you're not a soul winner, you are welcome here. Now, you're hurting yourself because you could be sending treasures ahead to heaven. There are some people that are counting on you to tell them about Christ. But if you're not a soul winner, you are welcome in this church. But you ought to be a soul winner. You're supposed to be a soul winner. If you never win one person to Jesus Christ, what a waste of your life. But stay right here in church. Stay right here in church. Don't you get away from God. Listen, along with that, if you don't serve God, if all you do is come in here and sit, let me preach and let this choir sing to you. If all you do is come in here and sit, you're welcome in this church. You're welcome in this church. Now you have to understand, this church, we're trying to get people saved. We're trying to change lives. We're trying to make something good of our time and our life. Now you have to understand, I'm going to keep on telling us, let's serve God, let's do something for God, don't waste your life. Let's make something happen. But if you say, I'm just not going to get involved, you don't have to leave our church. You stay right here. You can stay uninvolved and come in here and fill up your 18 or 20 or 24 inches of pew or 68 or how many ever inches you want to take up. Come on! I want you here. You're welcome here. If you never work on a bus route, you're still welcome at this church. If you never teach a Sunday school class, you're still welcome at this church. If you won't do those things, now you ought to do those things. You ought to want to go tell people about Christ. You ought to want to work in a Sunday school class. You ought to want to be used of God. You ought to want to serve God. You ought to want to give your best. You ought to find out what God wants to get out of your life and give it to Him. But if you won't, and if you don't, if you omit those things from your life, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. Stay right where you're at. Number four, if you omit the important thing of tithing from your life, you're still welcome here. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. The Bible teaches that one-tenth of all of our increase or our gross income is to be given to God. Now, I think you should tithe. The Bible teaches it. The Bible commands it. It's very clear. But I can't debate that. But you say, well, I'm not going to do it. Well, keep coming to our church, would you please? Say, Brother Owens, if I don't tithe, you want me to go find some other church? No. Why don't you stay right here? You're welcome to stay right here. Now, I cannot not teach on it. I cannot not preach on it. I am obligated to preach on it. I am not trying to make it so you can get away with leaving these things out of your life. I'm trying to make it so I get a chance to groom you and grow you and teach you and challenge you. Don't leave. If you're not going to do right, you come here and I'll get a chance to try to encourage you to do right. But listen, if you don't give like you're supposed to give, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. I've had some people come to me, and I'm so glad they did. I've had families come to me and say, Brother Owens, this tithe thing, we can't do it. We're not going to do it. And they almost wanted me to say, that's okay, I can't. How can I tell you not to do something God commands you to do? I'm not the Pope. Well, right now, I'm really glad I'm not. I'm not the Pope. I cannot say to you, don't do what God told you to do. I can't do that. I cannot release you from those things that God commands that you do. But I can tell you this. I love you, when you're disobedient. I'll love you when you omit what you're supposed to do. My love to you is not based on your obedience to God. I'm going to love you whether you're obedient or disobedient. I promise you that. Now I'm going to tell you you're disobedient. That's my job. It's not an easy job. I'm to tell the truth whether any of us like it or not, including myself. But if you are omitting service to God, if you are omitting not tithing and not giving what you're supposed to give, you are still welcome here. You know something? There are those. I'm not trying to help you figure out a way out of this thing. Listen, you're to tithe. You're to give 10% of your income, and then on top of that, you are to give an offering. And if you're not doing it, you're living in sin. You are robbing God. You say, well, if I can't tithe, I'm not even going to try. Listen, I've got a feeling that if you say, I can't give 10%, I'll give 5. I think God will take it. But you've not given 10%, which you were commanded to give. But don't have that philosophy. Well, if I can't tithe all, I won't tithe at all. You listen to me. God wants you to give everything you can give, and you're supposed to be tithing. But if you're not going to, you better give all you can. Or give all you're willing to give. He wants all the obedience out of you He can get out of you. Don't be an omitter. But if you are, you're welcome here. If you omit the important thing of faithfulness to the church services, I still want you to come to church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible teaches us we're to get together. As often as the church assembles, the congregation and the church family are to be here. I think you should attend Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's how we have services here. I think that's what you ought to attend. You say, well, I'm just not going to come. It's odd that I'm here tonight. I'm usually a Sunday morning person only. I just came to watch that video tonight. Listen, you ought to be in church every time the church doors open. It is best for you. It's what God expects of you. But, if I can't get you here on Sunday night, keep coming to my church on Sunday morning. If I can't get you here on Wednesday night, I want you to keep coming on Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm not condoning your absence. I am telling you, I'm going to love you, and I want you to keep on coming to church. I want you to be where you're supposed to be. I cannot stop preaching on faithfulness to church, nor will I. But if you're not going to be faithful, I'll take what you give me. If you're here one Sunday out of every three, I'll take it. You're not right with God if you're like that, but I'll take it. I want you here. A young boy came to Sunday school late one day. His teacher knew that this was unusual for him because he was always prompt, and she said to him, is there something wrong? Is there a reason why you're running late? The boy replied no, that he was going to go fishing with his dad, but his dad told him he needed to go to church. So the teacher was very impressed and asked the boy if his dad had explained to him why it was more important to go to church than to go fishing. To which the boy replied, yes, my dad did teach me why I needed to go to church instead of go fishing. The teacher said, well, what did he say? Well, my dad said there wasn't enough bait for both of us. We're to be faithful to church. Every time the church doors open, the Bible very clearly teaches we're to be faithful. But if you won't be faithful, you keep coming to church. You just give all that you're willing to give. It's too bad we're not willing to give all. It's too bad we're willing to be faithful to all. But you just keep on coming. You hurt yourself. You see, my sermons are preached to meet your spiritual, nutritional needs. When you only hear one of three sermons in a week, you have a lopsided diet. You will not understand me. I will guarantee you the people that understand me least are the ones that are in church the least. Because if you would show up and get all three of your vitamin capsules a week, you would say, I think I see what he's doing. I think I understand what's going on around here. But about the time you misunderstand me, you would have understood had you just been in church like you were supposed to, because I'd explain what was going on the week before. But you miss church. So you misunderstand me because you miss the nutritional needs and the food that's being given out from this pulpit. But listen, if all you'll give me is one service a week, I'll take it. If all you'll give me is two services a week, I'll take it. But I think you ought to be in all the church services. I think your kids ought to be in all the church services. I think that is best. But you say, do I have to leave if I won't be faithful? Nope. Stay right here. Stay right here. Because if you're here, I have a chance to try to keep you from omitting the weightier matters in your life. And one person made an announcement in church last Sunday night, and another that was not in the church service got upset and said to someone, "Why didn't you tell me what happened last Sunday night?" The other person said, "Well, maybe had you been here, you would have heard for yourself." What you missed by not, hey, around here, anything could happen at any given moment. If I were you, I would just come. It's like a three-ring circus, and I'm the monkey in the middle. Where's Mrs. Jones? My wife and I took the Joneses out to eat because they won a contest prize. And we were just laughing and joking around, and Mrs. Jones compared me to a monkey, and I have been devastated ever since. But that's all right, Mrs. Jones. You just stay right here where someone will love you even though you call your pastor a monkey. Hey, if you omit the important item of forgiveness from your life, you're still welcome here. The Bible says in Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I think you ought to forgive. I think the Bible commands you to forgive. Whatever sin has been committed against you, God commands you to forgive. You say, "Well, I'm not going to do it. Should I leave the church?" No. Stay right here. Say why? If you're omitting that weightier matter from your life, I'd like to help get it in your life. Now, I cannot not preach on forgiveness. I'm going to tell you, for you not to forgive is a sin against your God. It's going to make your life miserable, and it's going to make a bunch of other people miserable. But if you won't forgive, stay right here. I want you here. You're welcome in this church. If you are omitting some things that could make you happier, you stay here. Now, we may have to look at your miserable face, but you're welcome here. That painful look that you have, because you can't forgive and forget. Brother Young found one of his students making faces at others on the playground out here. He stopped and gently was going to reprove this student of his. Smiling sweetly, Brother Young said, "You know, Bobby, when I was a little boy, I was told that if a man made ugly faces, that my face would freeze, and it would stay like that for the rest of my life." Little Bobby looked up at Brother Young and said, "Well, you can't say you weren't warned." You know, if you won't forgive, I believe that there are Christians that will not obey God, and they'll take some unforgiveness all the way to their grave with them. And that is wrong. That is just flat out wrong. It shouldn't be that way. You ought to forgive and forget. It's what Christians do. But you say, "Brother Owen, if I'm not going to forgive, I'm going to stay bitter and nasty. What do I do?" Stay right here. Stay right here. Stay in your church. Let me help you with it. Now, I cannot stop preaching on it. I've got to do it because there are some who will stop omitting it from their life because of the preaching. But if you won't, you don't have to leave our church. If you omit the important item of separation from the world, then you are still welcome here. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I think that you should separate from the world. We should look different than them, act different than them. We ought to dress different than them. That's what the Bible teaches. But you won't do it. And I think you should. And I'm going to preach on it. But if you won't do it, you can stay right here. You can stay right here. You say, "Why?" Because I can't teach you separation from the world if you leave the church. If you go to some church that won't teach you separation, you'll never learn it.
Right.
If you and there are plenty of them out there. You say, "Well, Brother Owens, couldn't I find a church that would have a little softer preaching than this one?" Oh, yeah. That won't be a problem. That won't be a problem at all. But if you do that, you'll never learn it. You'll never get it. You can run all you want. And if you want to run to a weaker place, they do exist by the dozens.
Yes, sir.
But I'm saying to you, why don't you stay right here where someone will love you in spite of the fact that you won't do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I can't stop preaching on it. I think there's some men here. You need to put away some of your ladies' jewelry and stop wearing it. But if you won't, you can stay here. I think there's some ladies here. You ought to start dressing like a woman. But if you won't, you're still welcome here. You're welcome here. I think there's some of you, you ought to change the music you listen to. It'll ruin you. Not separating from the world will ruin you. But if I were you, if you're not going to separate from the world, you better stick around, because this old preacher, he'll love you once the world ruins your life. We'll put you back together because of you. When your disobedience destroys you, you're in a place where we'll put you back together. I want you to obey God. I want you to separate from the world. But if you won't, don't run from the hospital that can doctor you up after you must face the results of your disobedience. Stay right here. Stay right here. If you omit the important item of loving, if you will admit love for others, you may stay right here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, it says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" You know something the Bible's saying here? If you just love the people that love you, you're not so hot. But if you can love people that don't love you, boy, that's big time stuff. You ought to love your enemies. You ought to love all people. The Bible's very clear on that. You're to love people. Now, we're not to love sin. We're to hate sin. But we're to love people. There's some of you, you don't love people. You don't love people. It doesn't show in your life. You don't love people. You have a hard enough time loving the people that love you, let alone the people that don't like you. But you're to love people. You say, "Well, I'm not going to love like that. I will not love my enemies." Then don't leave the church. Stay right here. Why? Because I'll be able to keep on preaching to you about love your enemies. I'll be able to help you. And when your hateful life begins to destroy you, I'll help put you back together when you wake up and realize what your disobedience to the command to love your enemy has done to you. But if you're an omitter of the love of God from your life, you can stay right here in this church. I cannot not preach on it. I must. You're to love your enemy. And when you don't love, you are hurting yourself. You're even to love your mother-in-law. The little boy said, "Oh, I sure am happy to see you," this little boy said to his grandmother on his mother's side. "Now maybe Daddy will do the trick that he's been promising us." The grandmother was curious. "Well, what trick was that, Joey?" she asked. "I heard him tell Mommy that he would climb the walls and pull out his hair if you came to visit." Amen? You're to love, even your mother-in-law. You say, "Well, I'm not going to love my mother-in-law." Stay right here in this church. You'll love my mother-in-law jokes. I mean, stay right here in this church. We'll help you. Hey, if you're going to omit the weightier matters from your life, I think you're wrong. I think it's sin. I think you should not live that way. I think when the Bible teaches something, you ought to do it. But if you won't, you're in a good place. Because I'll love you in spite of your disobedience to what is best for you. Somebody better love you. Not taking good care of yourself. You're not taking good care of yourself when you're disobedient in these areas. You're hurting yourself. You're going to need somebody to help you. You're going to be miserable because of it. Hey, if you omit having a good testimony for our church and the community, I want you to stay right here in our church. That's a big chance. You know, there are people that if their church members have a bad testimony, they run them off. I want to get rid of them. I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that to you. Listen, you're to have a good testimony for Jesus Christ. When you come to this church, people know you come to this church. You got to live right out there in the community. Don't go out there and give that community a bad impression of our church. That's not right. You're to live above reproach. You're living such a way that when people look at you, they know what this church is and what this church believes. But if you go out there and you're not living right, you're still welcome to come to this church. Now, I'm going to preach on it. I'm going to tell you it's wrong. I'm going to throw a fit about it. You're going to be miserable because of your disobedience, but I want you to keep coming. Because I believe that there's something down inside you that you're eventually going to change and fix up your testimony. I'm thinking about some of these young people. I think we have a batch of young people that next September will go off to Bible college. When you young people go off to Bible college, listen, you are representing the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Don't you go to some Bible college and give us a bad name. Don't you go there and give them the impression that we are a bunch of rebels and that we do wrong. Don't you do that to our church. That's not right. But if you do, we'll love you. And this is still your church. Hey, listen to this. When the omitters stop coming here, it will be because of them, not because of me. If you omit things that ought to be in your life and you say, I'm not going back to that church, you're stopping because of you, not me, because you're allowed to be an omitter and come to our church. If sinners stop coming to our church because of the sins they're committing, if they stop coming, they're going to stop coming because of them, not because of me. Because sinners have an open invitation here. Omitters have an open invitation here. They may be running from God, but not from me.
Amen.
The reason people run is not because of the preacher. They run because they know they're wrong. When you have a preacher that stands up and says, committers and omitters are welcome here, why would anyone need to run? By the way, I don't know of anybody that's leaving our church. None. Zero. If you said to me, did you know someone was, so-and-so was considering leaving our church? I'd say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't know of anybody that's leaving our church. I don't know of anybody that is contrary with this preacher right now. None. I'm not trying to fix anything that's broken. I'm trying to tell you, if you omit the weight of your matters, you're welcome here. If you commit wrong sins, you're welcome here. But we're still going to preach the truth, and that is best for everybody involved. If you leave here, be honest. Nobody drove you away. You drove you away. You didn't stay where somebody loved you even in spite of your own rebellion. By the way, if you ever leave, you're welcome to come back. Why, you just check my record. I am thrilled to death when the backslidden come back to our church. I'm thrilled to death when I hear the story that somebody that had left the church 10 years ago, they say, can I come back? I say, sure you can come back. Sinners are welcome here. Those that have committed sin can come here. Those that have omitted the weightier matters can come here. But I'm going to preach. I'm going to uphold righteousness. I'll love you, even if you're an idiot. Now, I'm going to tell you you're an idiot, but I'll love you when I do. If you ever leave here, remember you were asked to stay even when you disobeyed God. But some people must leave because they don't love God enough to obey Him and don't want to be reminded of it. That's what it boils down to. They leave a church like this because they do not love God enough to become obedient, and they don't want to be reminded of their lack of love for the Savior. Because, see, I'm not the issue. You can commit sin, you can omit things from your life and come to this church. And it's not me that's the issue, it's your personal relationship with Him that is weak. I mean, what more do you want? Omit? Stay. Commit? Stay. Be loved. The problem is, we get so uncomfortable with our own backslidden ways that we cannot stand to be reminded. So we want to go and hide somewhere where we do not have to be reminded of our true lack of relationship with our God. Omitters and committers. Listen to me, church. Listen carefully. I believe this is the way a church is to be. I believe that. And I believe this also. I believe all of us need to learn to behave this way. If somebody does wrong, I don't need a vigilante crew to go and try to beat them up or be rude to them or drive them out. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not right. You men, you don't need to take into your own hands some discipline that you think needs to be done here at this church. I don't need your help. I know how to love people. I know how to help people. You say, well, you're going to let sin run rampant in the church? Do you really think that? But I also know what sin does to people. I know how deceptive sin is. And I'm going to love us all because we're all omitters. And we're all committers. We're just a bunch of people trying to serve God the best we know how. And let's keep it that way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.